BBC World Service. Outlook. Introduced by Barbara Myers.
Hello and welcome from me to this Tuesday's edition of Outlook. A medical breakthrough for victims of AIDS, a new rose for the Olympics, and GI brides. What was life really like when the Yanks went home? But for our first report today, we turn to Nigeria. 100 days after the military coup in Nigeria that brought General Buhari to the coast, there was a crowd who preferred to head for the seaside resort of Brighton, not to lie sweltering on the beach, but to closet themselves indoors, talking not so much about the sunshine as the distant stars, the outer planets, black holes and intergalactic time travel. For Brighton was the venue this Easter of the 35th International Science Fiction Convention. It was the biggest and brashest ever for sci-fi fanatics from around the world. And our reporter Doug Crawford mingled with the throng.
The Metropole Hotel here is swarming with science fiction buffs. There's films and computer games, competitions and formal talks, but it's the informal talk that prevails. The bars are crowded, and the topic is science fiction. Sci-fi is big business.
Most science fiction published in Germany is from America or from Britain, so it is very important for us to watch the scene here in Britain. I'm a co-editor of a newspaper on science fiction, and so I have to get in contact with many people from the publishing houses, authors, artists, and so on.
It's really a business. I'm here as an editor of the science fiction pocketbook program, and I had the opportunity to meet a lot of authors I would not have the chance to meet during the year otherwise, so it's very interesting to be here. And there's a lot of artwork exhibited to choose for covers or things like that, so it's really a very business-like thing.
With paperback books selling in their millions, and with films like Star Wars earning over $185 million, science fiction is a very serious business, and all the well-known authors are here. I suggested to one of the most successful, Harry Harrison, that they were spinning fairy stories, thinly clad in the jargon of science.
I've been insulted before, but I won't accept that. All fiction is lies, all made up, and the better you lie, the more realistic it sounds. This is true of mainstream science fiction, but science fiction has the one thing that mainstream doesn't have. It has a much more realistic approach. It lives in the real world.
But over your considerable career, have you been caught out by scientific discovery?
Never. Never at all. In fact, they've caught up with me. Like I say, talking to people in the field, I wrote a book a few years back called Skyfall about a satellite that decays in orbit and falls. And I'm very annoyed. The Americans and the Russians are conning the world because they say things burn up when they land. They don't. They float around the ocean. These things don't burn up. 2 years later, American space lab came down for that reason. So I'm not only catch up, but stay ahead of it.
So, quickly, the new book.
Oh, new book, really new book. Well, coming out in August, a book called West of Eden. This book takes place in a world where the dinosaurs never died. What would the world be like today? That's it.
Well, I'm going to find out the truth of the matter and talk to some of your fans. Do you think we can bear it?
Certainly, in the bar.
Indeed, the bar is full of fans from the four corners of the earth. Discovering English bitter beer are a group of Dutchmen.
I walk around the place. I look at all the movies I haven't seen yet. I talk to a whole lot of people whom I haven't seen yet either. And generally have a good time, which is what it's all about, basically.
The whole idea is to change thoughts with other people, and we don't have to discuss particular books. We are discussing lots of things besides science fiction. Science fiction gives you an idea that life itself isn't constant, but it's changing all the time, and it prepares you for that kind of change.
And being as science fiction can discuss earthly politics more easily by placing them on a different planet and in a different time, it provides a useful forum for those from many differing countries. Jonathan Cowie, the organizer of the convention, is host to the many authors here.
Most Soviet writing, when talking about a future society, will tend to talk about a communistic society. Writers have varied from this. Dostoevsky wrote a book which was, to a certain extent, criticizing the development of technology, and they couldn't set their story in Russia because that would never happen there, so they had to set it in Canada instead. But also, the other extreme has happened in the States. Philip K. Dick, who wrote Android's Dream of Electric Sheep, which was made to a film called Blade Runner, was criticized by the powers that be in the States because he tended to knock capitalism to a certain extent. And for a while, in his earlier writing days, he found it difficult to make ends meet.
So, how then do these English, French, American, Czechoslovak, Russian, Romanian writers behave when they're together?
They're all here today, enjoying themselves, and they've all got a great love, which has grown over many years. It's a tremendous tradition, going back to French works, Jules Verne, and from British works, H.G. Wells, through to the present day, be it Philip K. Dick or Roger Zelazny, those of that ilk.
And indeed, American writer Roger Zelazny agrees that sci-fi writing is able to discuss human affairs more easily than straight fiction.
I've always looked at science fiction and fantasy in writing things set in the future and on other worlds as a way of talking about the present.
Science fiction film 2001, A Space Odyssey, and our time traveler in Brighton was Doug Crawford. Now to the wonderfully named Cocos Islands, that group of 27 coral atolls in the